Doesn't she have a great voice? Man, I love her music. Well, that was Denise Vasquez with Pipe Dream. And coming from her album, Frame of Mind. And she's just been on tour and just got back from Europe, in fact, in Scotland. And I hope everything's cool. I heard she's back in California. And by the way, you can get her album at www.cdbaby.com/Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E-V-3. Or you can also direct, if you have MySpace account, MySpace/Denise Vasquez, V-A-S-Q-U-E-Z. Again, that's Z-E-N-I-S-E-V-A-S-Q-U-E-Z. Yes, great music. She has another song I would want to play, and I'll probably play it next week. It's called Angel in Disguise. She got so many great songs on that, her thing. And, of course, you know, this is Andrew Fetter, When Pigs Fly, coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. And there's a lot of things I want to go through. And, oh, by the way, another thing I just want to reiterate for all those who are out there who plan to come toward Vegas or are in Las Vegas. A couple of things, one of which, I will be having a book signing event tomorrow, Saturday, August 4th, at the Psychic Eye Bookstore at 6848 West Charleston. That's on the corner of Rainbow and Charleston. So if you can, come on by. You can be, I'll be there from about 1 to 5. You can talk, chat, spiel, whatever. And also, I want to let everybody know that, you know, who come down here in Vegas or have on their way to Vegas, and you're feeling your energy all mustered up and you're feeling all down, and maybe you want to re-energize yourself or keep yourself grounded, I know of a great healer. Her name is Sun, and she utilizes Reiki and crystals. And if you don't know, understand what Greke is, you can always Google it, and it's also on her MySpace. And you can always go to her MySpace, which is www.myspace.com, obviously. Greke, R-E-I-K-I, with Sun. She has contact information there. I'll also give you her email address. So you can always email her. It's at Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, underscore, with, underscore, sun, at yahoo.com. And I'll even give you her phone number. It's 702-401-4831. I'm telling you, she gives a great, in fact, I think I need to get another energy booster here in the next few days or weeks or so. I understand she's doing this for $50, and $50 is pretty cheap for, I'm telling you, for having a session of getting your energy worked on and your field and chakras and having a Reiki healing. And, oh, another thing I was telling you, I know I've been saying it before and past, and I know everybody's anxious for me to get into my thing of Kabbalah. But I also have a new blog site. I wish everybody have a chance. Go ahead and check it out. It's andrew.myufo.com. And I have, my banter of politics, spirituality, some UFO, ET stuff, all mixed in, all around. And check it out. And also, keep in mind, y'all, just if you have any questions or comments or would like to discuss things or whatever, I'm always open. You can always email me at flyingpigs@artlovers.com. Again, that's artlover.com. And I also have a MySpace account, which is myspace.com/AndrewFetter. If you guys have any questions as well, y'all, just check out my, or if you want to check out my book, which deals with politics and religion and extraterrestrials and modern-day politics. I know that's, and it's nice, easy read, but you'll feel like you're in a movie, but live. And that's at www.andrewfetter.com. Anyway, Kabbalah. Well, first of all, let me give you a little bit of background of my background from Kabbalah first, I think, so you know where I come from and where you might go, what's his expertise in Kabbalah? I don't see no in Hebrew Rav in front of your name, meaning rabbi, or a doctor. But let me just tell you my background again. My ex-brother-in-law, who was a Hasidic Lubavitch rabbi, very famous Kabbalistical Rabbi Yamani, and he was going to give us a blessing, da-da-da-da. And while we were sitting there, and just giving you some briefs, he gave us, the thing, blessing and all that stuff, and he turned to, and by the way, when he was talking, we were like in a telepathic contact, a situation where we're like talking to each other, and he turned to my brother-in-law at the time, and he told him that I should be studying Kabbalah. And they all looked like, what? First of all, I wasn't religious. Second, I was only 20 years old. I just becoming married. And I didn't have kids. And you're supposed to be 45, have kids, and yada yada. Well, that sort of surprised them. And they tried to push me to study, and I didn't want to, Years go down the line, yada yada. I ended up immigrating to Israel back in 1980. And, again, I was only 2 years later, I met a very holy person. His name is the Moa, living in Caesarea. He was blind and missing one arm due to he was one of the sages. Fortunately, back in 1948, after Israel became a nation, the Arabs tried to kill off. There's a very famous group of sages in Tunisia as well as in Libya, and he happened to be in a group within Libya, and they had thrown a bomb and killed all of them, and he was the one who survived of all the sages in Libya, and they were able to bring him to Israel. And when you would sit down, by the way, with him, your clothes would actually change colors, literally, like your pants, blue jeans would turn green, black would turn brown. I even had a friend of mine back in 94 with my daughter go, and we came to visit him. And I came back to the States, and she was like in shock. So I learned from studying through him for about six some odd years. Came back, and then, by the way, when I studied then, it was a very religious situation, studying all the with Zohar and the Sefrut Oro, which is the books of light and compilations. And it was sort of strange because everybody looked at me, God, he's only 22. It's like, see, that's like jumping in from, instead of going to elementary school, instead of going to high school, junior high, instead of college, I'm right into getting my PhD in metaphysics, in Judaism. That's how far I was only in my 20s, like I said. So I studied that with him, and then quickly, when I came back in 1988, I studied with Jenny St. Clair and her husband, Elliot, and she brought me back into studying Kabbalism and mysticism within Kabbalah. And that time I learned to, which I'll explain later, about Merkava and going out of body and all the things. And so that's sort of a rough scale of my knowledge. And besides going, which I'll explain later, I have, while going out in the Merkava, I had my friend Raziel teach me a lot of stuff on the other side. Very brief about that. But now let me explain to you, and if you ever have any questions about my background, feel free to contact me. First of all, I want you to understand what Kabbalah really means. Kabbalah means in Hebrew to receive, which is very important. You have to understand in Hebrew, first of all, it's looked upon like a holy language because it is like the voice. Words utilized, and I'm talking more from a framework within Judaism, like written from his hand into, or his, her, what, God's hand into the Torah, whatever. But it's written, that's why it's considered, it's sort of hard to explain, but every word has a meaning, which I'll get into, and every letter has a meaning. So there's a very significance of all the words in Hebrew. And by the way, Hebrew, the root of Hebrew, all words are as a verb rather than a noun, which gives you to understand that, which I'm going to get into right now, in Kabbalism, how you have to look at things around the world, how things really, really are. So now, like I said, Kabbalah is receive. And I remember my sister, who was studying at Kabbalah Center, and one of the rabbis over there were telling me, go, hey, walked in there, he asked me, and there you go. I looked at them, I says, do you know Kabbalah? And they said, yeah, I'm learning all this and this about Kabbalah. Oh. So they turned to me, do you know what Kabbalah is? And they looked at me, well, what is it? And I said, 16 plus 30 divided by 50 equals 15 plus 99 plus 8. That's Kabbalah. And they're going, huh? I don't get it. That's exactly it. And you're probably all going, huh, what the hell is he talking about? Well, let me tell you then, folks. It really tells you basically if it's in the Bible, in the very essence. It's called Ein Sof in Hebrew, which means the infinite. Now, Ein beyond the infinite is called Ein, which is exactly what there is. You don't know, you just have an understanding of things. You don't say, I know things, I have an understanding of things. You understand that there's an infinite situation or beyond an infinite situation. You do not know, you have an understanding of it. And you have to look at things. It's like, go outside tonight, or if you're, it's nighttime wherever you are, and look at the stars and look at the sky, and basically that's a mirror. God has presented a mirror of what our universe is. It's like a multitude of stars, a multitude of energy, infinitely bound and beyond the infinite, with space. And all this framework of what I'm talking about, you'll see it correlates, which what I've talked in past shows, with thoughts or things, of energy and vortexes, because there's a situation in which there are vortexes of energy. Whether you say something, the thought, you write, you yourself is a vortex of energy. The cars, that very element of the physical things, the space where you happen to be, those are all vortexes. That's why certain things are said, they create a certain situation. Almost like a wavelength, they'll create a wavelength of energy. And it's always within an infinite bound situation. So you have to understand those processes. So I'm going to go briefly through this really quickly, of all these brief things. And I know people are going, well, what about, say, fruit? Who know a little bit of color? What about the long face, short face, and tree of life? Well, those are situations that explain things into an infinite, beyond the infinite, into a finite thing. Because we try to perceive things finite, but they really aren't. It's to put things sort of in a perspective. It's like tasting an apple, and you know there's an apple, but you tell somebody understanding what that tastes like. So that's basically the understanding of it. And in the very beginning, in Sefru, on the top scale of the thing, there's two areas. One is called Chokhmah and Bina, which they say there's two sides, and one's the feminine, one's the masculine. And the Keter, which is means the crown. And that is just to give you an idea of the situation of how our spirits work. First of all, in terms of the Zohar, they refer to our souls, the human soul. It's referred to as in a feminine side, the passive side. And the universe all around us, God's universe, or God's, the exterior connections on there, is considered more like the masculine side. And it's only, like I said, when I'm using these terms, it's just sort of like identification, but not absolute. It's, sort of, like I said, an understanding. So when those two become together, it's like when somebody says, now, God, I have a reflection, I feel this enlightenment thing, I feel totally bound together. You feel like one with the universe. And when you do that, have that feeling, it's sort of like you get this, like, jittery feeling, this good feeling. Well, in the Zohar, it's referred to as being spiritual intercourse. That's what, like, the masculine universe with the feminine spirit of the human soul, and when they come together as one, there's a literally called a spiritual orgasm. You get that ah, and that vibrating vortex of energy spills out, and your vibration of your soul increases. And that's what that's referred to. Now, also, I was going to tell you something real quickly. The level of man's soul, too, is really important to understand. And by the way, when I talk about Zohar, or any of the books. It's really important. I know people read things from English, and it's really to get a really better understanding. It really helps if you understand Hebrew, because in Hebrew, like I said before, there's certain reasons for the words. Let me give you a brief on why. The Torah, or the five books of Moses, is, like I said, we're called the tongue of God, because it was spoken, uttered, it created. So therefore, if this is his tongue, it's almost like every little word, every letter, and you've probably heard about the Bible codes and all that stuff, there are very essence of certain dimensions. It's constantly moving, all constantly changed, almost like an organism that's living, that's giving off information, because it's created that vortex of energy. And then there's a little top part, which is the secret part, which nobody really gets into. And there's like these little crowns on top of the letters, and they have meanings. And that's you can count them. By the way, in Hebrew, all the letters, this is where numerology came from, Hebrew, and everything is counted. And that's also very important. The words have meaning by their numbers as well as what they are. And that's another very important thing to understand. I know I'm going to go through a lot of stuff really quickly because there's so much. I can do talk about one element for a couple hours without getting all the other stuff. And I definitely want to get into the practical side of Kabbalah, not the theoretical side. But like I said, and I'll just explain to you very briefly. First of all, man's soul, when he took with Eve, is also saying man, I can't get the issue of Lilith either, but when they took the apple, it's explaining to you the symbolism. It's not something that actually happened, it's something to explain to you how mankind relates to his universe. So man, when he ate the apple, receive choice, the opportunity to choose, the opportunity to learn things, to choose his path. And that gave us the opportunity, actually, on a level, under the vibrational level, our souls can elevate much higher than even the cherubim, even the angels. We have that opportunity because of that choice. Angels don't have choice. They just do. They're worker bees. Whether it's on the dark side or the light side, dark angels or light angels, or whether it's even cherubim, they all are worker bees. They all do the one side or the other side, which I'll get into. Now, also it says within the Zohar that when God created the universe, he created out of utterances. He put out his hands, two hands, meaning five, five, and he created equal force, meaning he created the light, and he created there was darkness. And by the way, if you read, remember I told you about infinite, it gives you the hint, out of the void he created the universe. That was a hint from what I talked to you before. That is, everything is beyond the aim, which I'll get into practical Kabbalah, and you'll see why that is extremely important to understand. So, now that I'm getting to that situation where things are created by God with the utterances out of a speech, which, by the way, utterances are very important because, like I said, they are creating vibrational things. Out of your voice, you can create things. Out of your thoughts, you can create things. It's creating this energy wave. So God was able to create this energy wave. That's what it's explaining. And it's playing with two equal forces. But then there was another utterances, which is referred to. Out of 32 utterances, all the universe and life was created. 32 utterances, which is a 5, which is also very interesting. Then it says that the universe was then, that now it was good, and keep it going. I mean, energy is how you it's now created. How you constantly keep that energy reinventing itself, or rather, because energy never disperses. People die in their souls, and then your soul really never dies. It's always it's eternal, and so is the universe, and so is atoms. You just can't destroy an atom. You can split it, cut it, even the elements of it. And you can keep on and on, and maybe something, but in all dimensions, nothing ever does. It keeps on continuing. The way this was created was out of what they said 20, or actually said 10 and 10 creations. And 10, by the way, I'm sure those who read tarot cards, 10 is the Wheel of Fortune, and that's where that came from. I mean, things consistently keep on turning, keep on recreated consistently. So those are pretty much the basis of a lot of things. And of course, there's a situation called the long face and the short face. And those are referring to, you know, like I said, Chokhmah, and the understanding and your wisdom and so on along the Sefirot. And of course, everybody has heard of, and everybody's heard of, the Tree of Life that's so much talked about within Kabbalism. And what the Tree of Life is basically the universe. All our souls are leaves. We're all connected. And even on the physical form, if we're as humans, that we die, we always recirculate and come back. We're always part of the tree. And it's interesting because you notice how you look at every leaf is pointing a different direction. There's a reason for that. Everybody has a different point of view. Yet we're all connected, and if we looked at our root, where we're connected, we'd realize we're all part of the same tree. We're all the same. We're all together. Now this is just out of our souls, not just the aspects of the universal elements, not including the chairs, the trees, or whatnot. They are all connected too. Like I said, all elements are connected. All our souls are connected. Now, somebody said, wow, if we have all this power and this stuff is connected and we can say things and create things, people could just go boom and say something to a level, depending on, like I said in one of my past show, Thoughts or Things, you can recheck it out. I went into it, and I don't want to rehash that because it'll take up too much time for that, or reiterate it. But it is what your thoughts are things, or you're creating things. Which in the Bible says, man was created as a reflection, by the way, of God, a mirror of God, because he's able to create. Man is able to create, not out of his thoughts, out of his speech. That's why I say don't use God's name in vain, is because that's an element of creation that's negative. Of course, there's, like I said earlier, there's the wheel that turns people who create things. You know, there's that element that it comes back to you. That's what that extra 10, that universal return. In Hebrew, they also call it tikkun, your karma. Which, by the way, all these things I talk about is related to, very identical to, and I'll tell you right now, to like Taoism and Buddhism. A Native American is Native American, very, very similar. Just different words. So there's that basic understanding of, like I said, understanding. And with their understanding, there's what they call Chokhmah, which is wisdom. They're interrelated. As you understand, you become a little bit wiser. You don't know something. If somebody tells you again, I know Kabbalah, or I know, they don't know. Because you only can understand. Because it's too vast to put into. If you were to know, you wouldn't be in your own embodiment. You couldn't be in this physical body. You wouldn't. Your vibration would be too high if you were at that level. That's why you can't know till you're on the other side. So now I'm going into with, like I said, thoughts, utterances, writings, vortexes. Now, like I told you before, there's variations from, like, the writings within certain things, like in Hebrew, they write certain words. In fact, they say, for example, if you know God's real name, meaning we know a lot of the consonants that are used. People heard of Yahweh and Elohim and all that stuff. Those are like expressions because we really don't know the vowels. If you really knew the vowels, you would be able to create beyond what you can think of. I mean, you can literally utilize those words, that utterances of God's name, and melt steel, make cars disappear, anything physical that you see, it could be changed, literally, if you knew God's real name, because of that energy, that utterance. And there were a select few who knew how to use some of those utterances, and it's referred to like in Moses, and even Jesus knew those. It's referred to even that he knew those utterances, and then they were lost. And of course, later it spoke of about the Baal Shem Tov, know over the name of a famous rabbi in Russia, who was the started the Hasid movement, because he literally protect Jewish villages, ghettos, from being massacred by Russian Cossacks, and they'd be run to a village and ready to slaughter a bunch of Jews, and all of a sudden they couldn't see a village, or they turned blind, and he literally created events because they said he was no other name. I don't know, but that's what they said. That was the whole thing. So, like I said, it's utterances. Now, some of these, a lot of abilities that people are able to have utterance, and you'll probably hear people be able to chanting certain things, real things. There comes with karmic consequences too. Like everything, what goes around comes around. For every action, there's a reaction. Remember the 10, the wheel of fortune. You either get it this time, lifetime or next lifetime, but you will get it back. And of course, that could be positive too. So if you do an utterance or something in a positive form or written something positive, it will come back to you in a positive thing. And like I said, all these are with choices. You make those choices, even with those minor thoughts. Now, like I said, there is a governor to protect in a situation where people who, because of people who were able just to say certain things and bam, I wish that person was dead, and bam, that person would be dead. There's a like almost like a governor to stop you from doing that. It's almost like God in the universe said, okay, this guy really doesn't know his thing, and we're afraid that he might get out of hand, so we're going to put a little governor right there and cut it off, just in case. Now, there is an energy force that keep on does create that negative thing, but not to the vibrational level, like I said, to manifest that situation. The same thing with the writings. Oh, another thing I was going to bring about in Hebrew, which is really interesting. If you write one of God's name, which is the Yahweh, which is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and you write it vertically, it looks like a person, which I thought was always very interesting. Looks like a man. But, and by the way, all the words, like I said, has respective situations, respective points to them, and all meanings. I mean, like I said, like in Hebrew, Ish and Isha, if in Hebrew, which means man or woman, and if you take God's name, it literally creates those words to mean fire, which means it's representing anger. So if you take God out of the soul of man, he becomes angry, full of negative emotions or toward the dark. And that's another thing, there's always a dark side or a light side, and God did create in the universe, in the spatial form, two levels. Like I said, he created both good and bad, well, light and dark, both with equalness. So, there's for every action, there's a reaction. So if you do something on the light side, there will be a reaction from the dark side to compensate. Now, this is not to detract. So, then what I'm supposed to do? I can't. If I keep on trying to do something good, there's always going to be something negative. Well, that's not the point. The point is for you to try to heal yourself, to grow, which I was going to get into. One more very important thing, which is an important concept in Kabbalism, and understanding the true nature, because I've gotten very existential about the aspects of the universe in relation to our souls and everything. But there is a very core interesting thing, and that is ahava, love. And it's funny, because you, and by the way, vortex of doing healings and stuff, it's like, by the way, three times. If you read, like, Eliyahu, Elijah, when he does his healings, three. But in the Bible, there's a prayer that you say you're supposed to say when you're about to die or whatever, and you say it three times. And it's called the Shema, and they go, Hear, O Israel, Lord God, Lord is one, meaning we're together. But beyond, and then you after that, you say, V'hafted and I, da da da. And with all our love, with all my soul, I mean total love, and that is really important. And what is, and why you said three times? You're supposed to say three times. Think about three: healing yourself, healing your universe around you. Three also represents true justice, has that vortex of energy. So that's what that is all about. So love yourself. To rise your true self, not to be narcissistic, be your self-worth. And then the aspects around you, it creates a vibration around you, including people around you. In fact, just here's one just cool quick thing. One of the greatest mitzvot, great deeds you can do, and you guys all do it. If you do something without somebody ever knowing about it, this is an example of true love. You're helping somebody without expecting something because they don't know about it. And you did something for them out of your heart. So now I'll get to into the with the practical side of Kabbalism. Now, I did get into where all the fundamentals, and I said to you the vortex is, but there are aspects of practical Kabbalah. And one of those they utilize are through meditation practices and utterances. Remember I talked about utterances. In fact, Rabbi Avraham Abu Lafia utilized that in a very extensive way. And so the Ari, who happens to be the reincarnate of Yohanan Zemekai, who wrote the book of Zohar, utilized these methods. In fact, this is the secret. These are the secrets, the utterances, that both elevate you. As far as your, in fact, if you were chant, it actually heals you instantaneously. It'll amplify what your vibrations are. This is why when you ever were to do this, you should never be medicated, not have drank, or got loaded, or high, or whatever, because it'll amplify that, because it's using partially of God's name, and one of these major utterances that are utilized. And you can find this, and I'll just give you a hint. You guys always check it out. It's called The Meditation in Kabbalah. And it's written by, and in fact has a whole bunch of stuff in it, and it's written by R.A. Kaplan. And it goes into some of the stuff by the R.A. too as well. And this is very well in-depth book showing how to use those utterances. And I only recommend, highly recommend, that you do just the one that says, you'll see it. It says the uha and ovo and all that, and splitting it up. Don't do the whole word at once and do it. There's also head movements, and you do those as you get used to it further and further. And that's part of the mechanisms. Those are the practical sides. Now, the other practical side within Kabbalism, like I said, is using those chants. That's using that meditative state. Well, you know, what's the meditative state? Oh, you know what? I forgot to tell you that when you study Kabbalah or study the Zohar, it's so intricate with all the stuff that it's like a round robin. And people go round, around, trying to figure it out, and you'll hear them. They're trying to explain you, and it's so funny, but they lose what the whole thing is. And it was funny because while I was studying it, I went to both all my teachers, and I kept on saying, God, this sounds like a round robin. I remember telling Ellie and Janae, well, this sounds like the same stuff over and over again. And they looked at me, yep. Because what it was teaching me to focus. That was very, very important. You learn to focus, like instantaneously. quicker and quicker and quicker. It gets you to focus. You go, your mind, you're going back and round and round and round, but it's to teach you to think and get and to be able to focus on a certain event. To allow you instantaneously work and clear out all those chattering thoughts. All those, and it takes practice. It's not, you know, it's, you don't just do it insanely, but that's the mythology of it. It gets you to release it. And same with meditation, same through chanting. Because what you do when you meditate in the Kabbalistical way is you, in your mind, first you allow all the chatter to leave. It becomes a void, a none, the non. You realize the non-infinite, the beyond nothing, beyond the darkness, beyond the light. When you get to that state, things will start popping in, like little thoughts out of nowhere. Perhaps even your guides will start, you'll start be able to listen to your guides, maybe for once, because they're always talking to you. We just too busy talking, don't listen. So this will come into your thoughts, and you'll have things will happen. Everybody's on different levels. Some people won't even hear anything, pumping nothing. So, but generally, as time progresses, it'll manifest. And this is a mythology in meditating under Kabbalism, which they don't really describe because it's only done, like I said, in very secret forms, if you want to call it that. Because that's the trick. That's the secret. Learning to focus. Learning to get all that thought out. And utilizing God's name to release those. And by the way, the utterances, what they do is they mix the vowels over and over again. That way, somewhere along the variance, you know you hit it. That's what it does. It crosses over and creates a vibration. People have heard of the bowls that Tibetans do. Well, imagine them all together at once. It's basically the universal voice. People have heard of Om. This is beyond the Om. It's beyond that. Because now you're using beyond, like in Taoism they say, you're using the Tao, or you're using God is Tao, is beyond the infinite. So that is the meditation, the practical side. And of course, the other side is allowing yourself, and this takes practice, is learning how to go out of body, which in Hebrew it's referred to in the Zohar as the Merkava, which is sort of like the tank they got. Sort of funny in Israel, the IDF has a tank called the Merkava. But when somebody says, yeah, I use the Merkava, that means I'm going out of body. And what that happens when you're out of body, you have the opportunity to experience what is beyond your physical self. You actually see the other dimensions. And like they said, there's beyond the infinite. There's infinitely so many dimensions in many forms. Like I said, when I said you see the stars and facets of energy, there's so many levels. In fact, this includes, by the way, space and time as well. This is why people think they have deja vu when they go out of body. Because you actually do have gone ahead in time. What we think is linear time, but there's really no linear time because the time is already happening. Which also causes like Einstein said, it causes the paradox. If you were to go back in time and kill your mom, how could that happen? Because then how could, if you wouldn't have never been born to kill your mom. But the universe is so beyond our, what we think in spatial form and time elements, that we're not even hitting it. We're just hitting the tip of the iceberg just in quantum physics, because it's giving the proximality, which is what in Kabbalism, it is an understanding, not a knowing, an understanding, just like in quantum physics. It's the understanding of the variations of what can the possibilities of being, which are then multiplied by the infinite or beyond the infinite of possibilities. Now, when you go out of body, like I said, you can do healings in doing working on the same elements as your hands. It even talks about within the Zohar that people, when they do healings, utilizing their hands, the energy that releases them. Because you have vortexes even on your fingertips, by the way. Interesting thing. Your hand has 5 fingertips. Did I mention 5? Creating. And then you ever seen somebody's hand, the creation? But yeah, five is also the protection. You've probably seen where somebody says, the evil eye. I don't know if you've ever been in the Middle East. It's one thing the Arabs and the Jews have in common. They put these little hands up, and they're called, beware of the evil eye. And those who don't know what the evil eye is, that's, if somebody thinks something negative about you or whatever, that's called the evil eye. So the hand is to stop that little feeling, that energy force. See, they know about it to some extent. It may sound superstitious, but is it? So, there's so many variations, so many elements. I can go on and on. And like I said, within the practical Kabbalah, there is dream sequences. There is called tikkun, which is your karma. There is going out of body, which is your merkava. There's connecting with your guides. And there's another thing, I don't know if you ever noticed, and you can ask any of your Jewish friends who are aware of it, when somebody past dies, what's really interesting is when they do a prayer at his funeral, do you know they don't say anything about the person dying? Huh, you know why? Because in Judaism, under the Kabbalistical, which is, by the way, the very essence, the underlying of a lot of aspects of the real, what's real, real under Judaism, not stuff made up by rabbis down the line, just to keep people in order, but the true essence is that you don't die. That's why it's not, you are just going from one situation to another. To us, we see the nefesh, the physical embodiment of the person left behind, which has an energy of your soul still left in there, by the way. That's why it's people have to respect the physical body of the dead, and everybody has their own respect and, like I said, perspectives of how to deal with it. Burying them, burning it, sending it to the ocean, sending it to outer space, or whatever. But the nefesh is, or the physical body is one element left behind your soul, which is part of your soul. Like I said, we're always connected. So there's many elements, like I said, within Kabbalism, in practical Kabbalah, that go into these elements, like I said. And these one, like I said, is the chanting, for example, of the Zohar within, like I said. And you know what? I'll just give you a little brief. I won't say the whole thing. I'll just tell you. You can go, like I said, get this book. I highly recommend it if you're very interested in practical Kabbalism. It's called Meditation Kabbalah. It actually is probably one of the most comprehensive books of utilizing practical Kabbalah. And there's many other elements within it that go into in depth. And I do not recommend anybody using what they call the 9 utterances. Unless you're extremely, let me put it this way, protected to do that, because that's one of the most ultimate utterances, and it's mentioned in this book. And I highly don't, because like I said, karma is a situation. You all have choices, and you'll take the responsibility for it. But you can go in there, and it goes into, like I said, into the book, and it goes into the pronunciations of the words. It goes in both Hebrew and English, and you'll see this, oh, yo, ya, and one side, oh, he, oh, ha, and whatnot. And it goes in the oh, va, oh, vi, and yo, ho, and all that. I highly recommend you split it up if you do it. If you have any questions, again, you can always contact me, or where to get the book, what to do. And if the Kabbalah Center, I'm sure if anybody goes and visits them, you can probably get that book from them or through Amazon. And I know they don't go really too much into it, because I've never met any Kabbalistical, aspects that have been taught to the general public regarding this, because a lot of people don't know this except for the real mystics within Kabbalism. And I mean, of this, I was learning this, like I said, back when the time when I lived in Israel. And I was told always to keep myself grounded, by the way, afterward. And being grounded afterward, because this does tend, you don't chant this while you're driving your car, and if you don't do this too late, because you'll be wide awake. It's sort of weird, you get a wide awake at night, but if you, You can also disorient yourself, because it does pull your sense of self out of your body to some degree. Your vibration expands when you do this. Like I said, it's like a massive healing. It's a, like putting foot to the metal, changing your vibration of utilizing utterances. And that's how you help yourself. And like I said, while we're here, we're supposed to heal ourselves, increase our vibrations. And like I said, with choices, again, very simple. Everybody makes things complex more than they are. But it's very simple. Thoughts are things. Just like in Kabbalah, in Zohar, we create what we manifest with our thoughts, with our speech, with our even our actions, even with our writing when we write something. Even our non-action, which is an action, our lack of speak, our lack of fortitude. This includes all politics, religion, with lack of questioning, our lasting engagement. These are all actions, and those carry vibrational patterns behind it. And that is part of practical Kabbalah, because it's practically how you're practicing within your daily life, of how you outlook on things. In retrospect to your lover, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your sons, your daughters, vice versa, mothers, fathers, grandfathers, friends. It has a lot of aspects. And of course, you have to have borders too, which I can go on and on about too. But I was trying to get you to a sense so you understand the very nature of Kabbalism, and not what's being told in massive classrooms, because it's not done very simplistic, and here's the chart, and here's the Sefirot, and here's the long face, here's the short face, and here's Tikkun, and here's this, and here's that. It's none of that. It's beyond that. Way beyond that. It's so beyond, it's beyond. So with that, I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank BBS Radio for producing my show. And I want to wish everybody, God bless them. I know we've had some technical difficulties on our websites, so I will reiterate, please contact me if you have any questions at flyingpigs@artlover.com. Hopefully you'll catch this on, if you didn't get all this information, on the future archive. And if you can play it over and over again. Or you can also hit me up at my MySpace/AndrewFetter. And you can always answer in that. And with that, I will close. And I wish everybody a great weekend. And may God bless all of you. In fact, God bless the whole universe, including those you do not like, because they all are part of each other. In fact, our greatest enemy is said is our greatest teacher, because our enemy is a reflection of ourselves. Anyway, and with that, I will close, feeling a little vampirish, because now I can crawl back into my coffin after listening to Masonic Temple and Devil's Suitcase. And you can always get their free album, by the way. Download it for free, in only limited time, at www.mp3.com.au, yes, they are from Australia, /Masonic Temple and Devil's Suitcase. Thank you, and God bless you all.